We'd like to say we appreciate again the privilege and opportunity to be here this morning. We appreciate the goodness of the Lord. If you want to read with us this morning, we're going to read some out of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter. Probably everybody familiar with Romans 8. Romans 8, 28 mentioned quite a bit. I don't do this purposely. But a lot of times I can't get away from reading, so I'm probably going to read the whole chapter. Starting with the first verse, 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I don't know about you, but when I read the Word of God, I've always wanted to know what it meant to the people that Paul was writing to in this case. And even if it's the Old Testament, I've tried to understand what the writer was writing to the people of that time and of that day. Now, in saying that, you might say, well, preacher, doesn't it mean anything to you? Oh, it means great. Great things. I turn right around, and once I've, in my mind, once I figure out what he's talking to them about, then I look at it, well, what about me? The Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder both joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And there was not anything made that wasn't made by Him. That's plain English. Plain English. That's not hard to understand. Neither is Romans the 8th chapter. I don't have a problem understanding that Paul was writing to the Romans primarily, but he is writing to the Gentiles and to the early church at Rome. And he began to say, a lot of times we pick out verses, and don't take this wrong, but we pick out verses that justify us. We pick out scriptures that don't apply to us, we think. It's how we read the scripture a lot of times. But the truth of it is, it's all the Word of God. Do you have to memorize it? No. But I'll tell you what you can do. If you'll just read it. If you'll just read it, I believe with all my heart, the Lord will bring it back to your remembrance. When it's really needed in your life. The Romans, he wrote, I could read several chapters as far as that goes. So you bear with us. I'll try my best to get myself out of the way. I appreciate what I can feel deep down in my soul. First verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now maybe, and hopefully correctly reading, that's the entire chapter of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. There's a lot in this, I well know, and as you well know, and to be honest with you, I could probably start at the first verse and go through every verse as far as that goes this morning, but that's not really what seemingly stuck with us in this scripture. The truth of it is, there's just a couple of verses that we've got seemingly a little bit that sort of stuck with us, but this chapter is a wonderful chapter. There's no if, and, or buts about it. It's a wonderful chapter. It tells us, brethren, how that we were flesh, but now we're spirit. And it tells us that how that we were debtors to the flesh, we are now debtors to the Spirit. So it does, it shows us in this chapter, my friend, the difference between who we was and what we are today. There's none of us. They sang the song here at the church, and It says that he didn't leave me like he found me. He didn't leave me like he found me. I want to talk just a little bit, the Lord being my helper, my friend, about something that's probably a little bit controversial in some ways. But I want you to realize, my friend, we take this scripture, the 28th verse, says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Now, I could probably dwell on that verse just a little bit, but I'm not. The 29th verse says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." I want to talk about this verse just a little bit, and then that verse that follows this verse, and then a few verses after that. So you just bear with me for just a minute. Predestinate. You talk about predestination. You get to talking about in the scriptures about predestination, and people get a little weary with you, and they get a little confused about what predestination really means. But in this case, and what this scripture says, my friend, it has nothing to do, brethren, with whether or not you're predestinated to the point that you're going to hell or whether you're going to heaven. It has nothing in this world to do with that. And I'm not taking it out of context. This is exactly what the scripture says. He did. He said, "Them that he did foreknow, he also predestinated." Now, predestinated for what? That would be the question that I would ask. Predestinated for what? He said to be conformed to the image of his Son. Brethren, when you get born again, there's something changes in you, and brethren, you can't help but to have an image like the Son of God. Brethren, it ain't gonna be after a while. Thank God it happens when you're born again. I can't help it. My friend, can't preach it no other way. My friend, when you get the Holy Ghost, brethren, it makes a difference in your life. It does not matter who you are. To be predestinated. Predestinated. My friend, to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Once you become saved, born again, it's not hard to live for God. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not hard. Brethren, these people that ask questions, and I'll be quite frank with you, I could not believe the change that happened in my life. I couldn't believe it. Wednesday, I hung around the boys. You hear me? Wednesday, I hung around the boys. Wednesday night, I got saved. Thursday was a new day. Thursday, things changed in my life. I could not believe the change that had happened in my life. Preacher, did you hang around the boys? I went to the boys. I did. I went to the group. I'm running around. Had a group. Just good old boys. You know what I mean? Bad boys. Yeah. What I couldn't believe, my friend, is when I walked up, I was talking just like them on Wednesday. You hear me? The conversation went just exactly like we wanted it to. Brethren, I walked up on Thursday and I could not believe when I heard the conversation, my friend, my heart melted within me, struck me. I couldn't believe it, Leroy. Woo! But thank God there'd been a change in my life. Folks, I had become somebody that I knew nothing about. You know that? There's a lot of people who went down to the altar and got back up the same old Joe. Yes, they have. It ain't everybody, my friend. The scripture even teaches us. It's not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, brethren, that actually knows him. No, it's not. But listen, it's not a bad thing. I didn't understand everything that was going on in my life. I didn't understand, my friend, altogether how I should act or what I should do. I was still a 15-year-old boy, but brethren, something had changed my life for the good. Can I say that? For the good. Predestinated to become conformed. Did you hear that? Conformed to the image of the Son of God. Brethren, you bear an image. Yes, you do. The truth of it is, you either bear an image for the flesh or you bear an image for the Spirit. There's no middle ground. Preacher, I don't like that. It's the truth. It's the truth. What did he say? You're predestinated to be conformed. To be conformed. Brethren, if there's any changing done in your life, you ought to let the Lord be the one that does it. Not yourself. I've known men and women alike down through the years that's turned over a new leaf. Hadn't you? I'm not going to do that no more. Did you know the drunk says on Thursday, I'm not drinking anymore. You know what happens when he gets the paycheck? First place he goes. It ain't nothing no more. It ain't nothing. You go down, you can't fill your tank up with gas without people hauling beer all around you. But listen, that don't make me a drunk. Does it you? It don't make me one. Brethren, the truth of it is, I've been conformed. Hear me. I have a problem with folks, my friend, that just slip up all the time. Don't you? Something wrong. Something wrong. You know what about a drunk? I don't know why I'm on drunk. I'm on it. I'll just go on for just a minute. What happens, brethren? the next week following on Thursday, that same drunk says, I'm not going to drink no more. Have you ever worked around anybody or been around anybody that says, I'm changing the way I'm living? Very few of them does it. Do you know that? Very few of them does it on their own. You can't tell me, my friend, that God can take a man on Wednesday, save him, my friend, and on Thursday, thank God his desires changed. You know what? I still love them old boys as friends. Do you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't go with them no more. And they ask. They ask. You know why they ask? Because I normally went with them. Normally. But I couldn't no more. Why? Why couldn't I anymore, Mike? Brethren, I was the same person I was on Wednesday. I was, but something, thank God, on the inside was different. I can't help it. To me, it's plain as day. Brethren, either you're a warrior for God or you're a servant to the devil. One of the two. Preacher, you're just too closed-minded. I want you to know there ain't no gray area. Are they? Predestinated. When we hear the word predestination, most of us think about, well, am I in that number? Well, am I just destined for hell? I've had people to tell me that. You probably have, you. But I've had people to tell me. But the truth of it is, God loves them. And the real truth of it is, if they would look toward him, thank God he's liable to deal with them. And you know the real truth of it is, that's what they're afraid of. I had an uncle. He's still living, by the way, only one got left. He was a drinker. This man give you the shirt off his back. That's how big a heart he had. But he get to drinking, my friend. He was just like a bull in a china shop, what they say. He was a fighter. Brawler. Always wanted to start something. Told his wife he didn't even believe in God. Didn't even believe in God. I don't know what he had done, but he come home one night, my friend, and he evidently done the wrong thing. Because he stirred her up. She took a gun out and shot him. In his own living room. You don't think? She said he laid there and cried, oh my God, my God. Huh? You don't think, my friend, that it's all in their thoughts. It's all in their actions. They just don't want to deal with it. Yes, sir. Belt buckle. She shot him and went in his belt buckle. Imagine that. Huh? He thought he was dying. He cried out to God. Listen, I don't care how much of a brawler you are. I don't care how much of an atheist you say you are. Brethren, God's got something that'll get a hold of you. Amen. He was known, certified, if I guess would be a word, a certified atheist. Told me, you know, when the Lord got a hold of him, He was drinking his coffee before he went to work, and he was reading the newspaper. Told me, he said, "I was reading the newspaper." I said, "Yeah, but this God got a hold of you. I don't care what you was reading." Huh? He said, "I never looked at it like that." He said, "But I was reading that newspaper," and he said, "Something come over me. Something got a hold of me." He said, "I couldn't find the church quick enough." Yeah? Atheist. Certified. Bonafide. I don't care what you call yourself. Brethren, when Jesus gets a hold of you, he'll change your life. Yes, he will. You might think, just like I thought when I was 15 years old, I had the world by the tail. I didn't have no worries. I didn't live to the place that I got tired of sin. I had pleasure in sin. You hear me? But when the Lord got finished with me, thank God I wanted something that I didn't have. Do you know that? I wanted something that I didn't have. I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you what that something was. Man preached to me for months. Brethren, I couldn't tell you one word that the man preached, but I can tell you something went home with me that I could not get rid of. That was that spirit. That man might have been preaching on hell. He might have been preaching on heaven. It didn't really matter. You know what registered with that old heart of mine? Was that spirit. It went home with me, Crafton. It laid down with me. A lot of folks believe there ain't but 144,000 going. Do you know that?
Yeah.
A lot of folks believe that. A lot of folks believe that that number is predestinated. Not so. You read it, you study it out, and you'll find out who the 144,000 are. And you'll find out that there's another number that no man can number. They're included too, folks. They most certainly are. We had in our Sunday school this morning, they could not believe, brethren, that God had presented salvation to all mankind. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "All Israel shall be saved." You know that? I believe that. Yeah. I believe that. There's people today, I run across this guy all the time talking about, "What do you think about Israel?" He's talking about over yonder.
Yeah.
In the east. "What do you think about Israel?" And I tell him every time. Every time, you know what I tell him? I said, according to Paul's writing, it's not that it is a Jew outwardly, but it is that is a Jew inwardly.
Amen.
And I am one of them.
Amen.
I'm one of them.
Yep.
Thank God I've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son. I cannot help it. You can't either. You get genuine born again, I'll promise you, you'll be one too. Yes, you will. And you know what that little Jew boy is? He's true Israel. Glory! And Israel shall be saved. Preacher, I don't believe that. Most folks don't. Yeah. Most folks don't. This is what Paul's talking about. It is. I'm going to go on. I'm going to go on and get in this other verse just a little bit. I done went further than I thought I would on some of this, but I want you to know the rest of this chapter. He says in that last verse, he said, "They ain't anything that'll separate us from the love of Christ." Do you know that? Not anything. Brethren, we need to look, we mean not look down upon ourselves. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen people. Brethren, it makes no difference what you hear. When Jesus gets a hold of you and he changes your life, my friend, you're on your road to glory. Amen. Yes, you are. And ain't nobody can stop you. Do you know that? You can't change. You can't change who I am. You can't change, my friend, what's happened in my life. Nor do I want to change it. Huh? Nor do I want to. Brethren, this world's on a downward plunge. Fast. Quick. Listen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ being the firstborn. That's what he says. Him being the firstborn. That's another message. Don't get on that. Listen. Moreover, whom he predestinated. Listen. What did he predestinate them for? To become the image of the Son. To conform to the image of the Son. So whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Listen. Called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Now, folks, there's something that went on in my life, brethren, when I got born again. I got more than I knowed what I had. I did. Thank God. Did you know it ain't run out? It ain't run out of this newness. Preacher, you've been preaching a long time. It ain't run out of its newness. It's new every day. It can be new 2 or 3 times a day. It can be new 50 times a day. It can be new all day long if you really desire it to be. Predestinated, called, justified. Preacher, I ain't none of them. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. He ain't talking to the moon. He ain't talking to the stars. He ain't talking. Brethren, he's letting us know that we have, that God completely and fully, thank God, saved us. Now, I'm fixing to get a lot of looks. Predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. Oh, preacher, ain't that what it says? He also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Glorified. Brethren, it should not be a new thing unto us that we are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, He was glorified, and He gave that glorification to me and you. Yes, He did. I can't read it any other way. If I've been predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son and called and justified, thank God, you better believe I'm glorified. There's not many of us, brethren, that use the benefits that God's given us today. There's not anything in the house of God. There's not anything in the tool chest of God. There's not anything with God that God won't give us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's my all in all. And listen, thank God, He knows my name. Come get a verse of a song. I don't know this morning. I really don't. This scripture makes me full. It makes me complete. Are you complete? Are you full? We sang a lot of songs. And I know I'm probably in a minority. Probably a minority of minorities. I do not, folks, believe there's one thing that God won't do for me and you concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, you're one of His. I read, and it's in this chapter, you're an heir of God. Is that not what he said? Heir of God. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. What does that mean, folks? What does that mean? Joint heir of Jesus Christ. And you tell me God will withhold all His goodness from me and you, I will not have it. Thank God. Thank God. I've been saved. I thank God. I really do. You may not for yours, but I thank God for my journey. I do. I can put some emphasis on the scripture where David said, he said, I once was young, but now old. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Amen. I'm one of his seed. Amen. Ain't you? I'm one of his seed. Preacher, you're just telling me that we've got access to everything God's got. That's exactly what I'm telling you. And we do have access. But the truth of it is, it's just like going to the refrigerator. You can have everything in there, and I'll promise you, it'll do you no good until you go and pull it out. Pop the top, whatever the situation might be. Put it to use. Is that not right? I've got tools down there in my shed. Some of them I never use. But you know what? Every now and again I get in a situation and I need that one little tool. Just one. Don't need to use it but one time. But thank God I don't have to go somewhere and borrow it. Or don't have to go buy one. I've got it in the chest. You hear me? Brad, I don't care what your problem is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. I'll guarantee you, he's got a tool that'll fix your problem. It'll do it. But it ain't going to happen unless you go down to the tool chest. Start looking around. There's nothing. I've got things down there, honest to goodness, Steve, that probably junk. I got my dad's old tool chest. And there's a lot of things in there he kept. And you know what? I kept them. I did. I don't mind telling you. It's hard for me. Just the other day did I go down there and clean his tackle box out. He loved to fish. He had a lot of fishing supplies. They didn't look good and shiny as everything that you buy, but you know what? They still work. I poured them all out. I cleaned them all up. And I bought me a new tackle box. Now, whether I use it to fish or not, it's up to me. Do you know that? I got a fishing pole. I got a picture, my friend, my last fishing expedition, 5 pound plus. Huh?
Lord.
Hadn't been years. Went and caught one. Still got it. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of things in that old tool chest that wasn't worth shooting. Danny, they had got hot. More plastic worms had melted together. Just run out all over everything. You know what, Crafton? I didn't keep them. Got rid of them. I didn't put them in my good-looking new tackle box. But them things that are worthwhile, them things, if I went fishing, I might need. Absolutely. Brethren, they're there. You hear me? Do you not think that God loves us enough, brethren, that he's given each and every one of us that bait box? Yes, he has. And he's given us all the amenities in there to catch a fish. But now, what did Brother Greg say? Do you know Brother Greg? He goes around. He told you. I work for him. He went over to Africa 3 different times. I got to hear them stories. Greg didn't tell you about the dangers he was in, did you? No. Didn't tell you about he about lost his leg trying to help somebody. Hear me? Listen, folks. We got a toolbox, but he wasn't fishing for a fish.
Amen.
He had a bait box that had something else in it. Listen, God's give us the amenities. He's give us the tools that we need. What we need to really realize is how precious we are in his sight. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He called us, he justified us, and folks, he glorified us. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Ain't it wonderful? We sang the song, "It's going to be wonderful over there." It is. I got no idea how wonderful, but I want you to know it can be glorious down here. We're the tools in his box. My friend, in all he wants us to do, thank God, is fish. Did he not tell his disciples? They were regular fishermen, were they not? Most of them. Did he not tell them He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. It's a wonderful job. It is. It's a wonderful job. I could go on. There's much more left in this 8th chapter. But I want you to realize today that you are a part of the kingdom of God. You're not waiting to become part of it. You're not waiting, my friend, to be crowned. You're not waiting, my friend, to be justified. We are justified by His resurrection. Book says so. And thank God, He put all His glory upon the church. Did He not? He said, I go away. I'm the light. He said, now ye are the light. Is that not what He said? You're the light, my friend. You're the light. Don't run around looking for the light. Thank God. Just be a light this morning. Let's stand.